Hello and welcome to Westfield School Radio.
Today's broadcast focuses on deadly disasters.
I'm your host, Sam.
And I am your host, Emily. Good morning to you all.
What?
What could possibly be good about?
Volcanoes.
Earthquakes.
Cyclones.
Tornadoes.
Tsunamis.
Floods, fire, drought.
Is that enough for you?
Oh dear, I was only trying to introduce our show about natural disasters.
Let's hope today's broadcast isn't added to that list.
So I hardly dare ask, but where should we start?
Let's begin by first understanding what a natural disaster is.
Natural disaster is the impact following an occurrence of natural hazard in the event that it has significantly harmed a community. A natural disaster can cause loss of life or damage property, and typically leave some economic damage in its wake.
Examples of natural disasters include avalanche, flooding, drought, earthquake, heatwave, hurricane, ice storm, landslide, lightning, tornado, tsunami, volcanic activity, and wildfire.
Whoa. People aren't going to listen to our radio broadcast if we just repeat facts at them.
We need to make sure they include real-life interviews and experiences.
What do you expect when you're sitting in the school radio station? We can't just visit the sites of natural disasters throughout history.
I think we need help.
I think we need a doctor.
Doctor who?
Exactly.
Did somebody call?
We need your help. We're trying to share our knowledge of deadly disasters, but we need to meet some of the people who may have experienced them.
I know precisely where and when to travel to. There are quite a lot of you to fit into my TARDIS, so you will need to pack in tightly. Off we go! Where are we?
We are at the site after one of the deadliest disasters in history, Pompeii.
I remember learning about this. Pompeii was an ancient city located in the Campania region of Italy. Pompeii, along with the Herculaneum and many villas in the surrounding area, was buried under 46 metres of volcanic ash and pumice in the erosion of Mount Vesuvius in AD 79.
That is correct. We are here to meet a group of geologists and archaeologists who have studied the eruption of Vesuvius.
Nice to meet you. We are currently standing in the middle of an archaeological site in Pompeii.
And what do you have there?
I am holding two letters that were written by a man called Pliny the Younger to Tacitus, a historian describing what happened on the terrible day, August 24th, AD 79.
Wow, what does it say?
To Cornelius Tacitus, though my shocked soul recoils, my tongue shall tell. My uncle having left us, I spent such time as was left on my studies. It was on their account indeed that I had stopped behind, till it was time for my bath, after which I went to supper, and then fell into a short and uneasy sleep. There had been noticed for many days before a trembling of the earth, which did not alarm us much, as this quite an ordinary occurrence in Campania. But it was so particularly violent that night that it not only shook, but actually overturned, as it would seem, everything about us.
Those letters look like very long recounts of events. We don't have time for each disaster during our radio show, so I think we'll just have to settle on a simple explanation.
Okay, there was this giant ash cloud and it covered Pompeii.
This cloud was in fact around 19 miles high, and when the ash fell, Pompeii was covered up to 16 feet deep.
But it wasn't just the ash.
Nor the lava.
No, it was when that cloud itself collapsed that several deadly pyroclastic surges swept down the slopes of Vesuvius, destroying everything in the way.
Wait a minute. Pyroclastic surges? Please explain.
Okay, loosely translated, I mean avalanches of superheated ash and gas were taking temperatures of around 400 degrees centigrade.
Those poor people, it would have destroyed all in its path almost instantly.
It was so fast that it preserved everything, leaving behind carbonized remains for us to rediscover years later.
But how did this terrible event happen?
Volcanoes are formed when a build-up of pressure beneath the Earth's surface is caused by tectonic plates shifting.
Tectonic plates? Oh dear, I knew this wouldn't be simple.
So what are tectonic plates?
They are large slabs on the Earth's crust. That's the Earth's outer surface.
When pressure due to these slabs moving builds up,
molten rock, known as magma, is forced through the Earth's crust
up to the surface
and out. This molten rock on the outside is now known as lava.
That is the sound of the molten rock and gases erupting.
But you don't want to be anywhere nearby when one of these volcanoes erupt.
You certainly don't want to be in the way of that lava.
Not at up to 1,200 degrees, you don't.
And the ash clouds are not too pleasant.
Bad enough in the atmosphere, blocking out the sun.
Stop! I don't want to hear any more. Let's get out of here just in case Vesuvius erupts again.
Well, Mount Vesuvius is considered an active volcano that sits on top of an extremely deep layer of magma, 154 miles into the Earth. Some geologists think that the volcano is overdue for an eruption, so it could happen.
On that note, quick, back to the TARDIS.
Where are we now?
We have traveled space and time to Haiti to visit scientists studying the aftermath of a devastating earthquake.
What happened here? Everything is destroyed.
You are standing in the Tiberian Peninsula of Haiti. A few days ago, on the 14th of August 2021, a magnitude 7.2 earthquake struck this nation.
This earthquake had a 10-kilometre deep hypocenter, caused damage to thousands of homes and businesses, and the estimated economic loss from it is over $1.5 billion.
How did this happen?
Earthquakes are formed the same way as volcanoes.
They occur due to the moving of the tectonic plates.
Most earthquakes happen where these plates meet. Some of these plates slide past each other, causing friction to build up, while some move towards each other, causing a build-up of pressure. When these forces, friction or pressure, are released, they produce a violent jolt that shakes the land, an earthquake.
I'm not sure I want to hear any more. The world suddenly sounds far too dangerous.
But surely once in another earthquake, knowledge saves lives. I know exactly who you should go and visit next. Quick, back into the TARDIS.
We're here.
Who are we going to meet now?
I've brought you all to meet a very clever little girl who used her knowledge that she was taught by her geography teacher to save her and her family's lives.
Oh, really?
Indeed. When an earthquake occurred in the Indian Ocean in 2004, a giant tsunami followed.
A tsunami?
Yes, that's Japanese for harbour wave. The name originated from the story of a village fisherman sailing out to sea, but on their return finding their whole village ruined due to a giant wave.
Hello, who might you all be? You don't look like you're from around here.
Hiya, we are from Westfield's Junior School and we're learning about natural disasters. We have come to talk to you about your experience.
Oh yes, I owe my life to my geography teacher. He told us in class about a sucking sound that can be heard just before the giant wave arrives.
What did you do when you heard it?
Well, we were also taught about the importance of getting to higher ground to make sure that we are above the level of water. So that's exactly what we did. We ran as fast as we could to the highest ground possible, all because of the warnings I had been taught and the advice had been given.
Well, three cheers for all geography teachers. Education does save lives.
So let us tell you about earthquakes which often cause these tsunamis.
Oh, very well, but briefly, please.
What is it with this broadcaster and time? Anybody would think we're running out of time. Are we? Running out of time? Is there something you're not telling us?
Well, I do have to keep this radio show with a certain time limit.
Oh, that's a relief. We thought it might be something serious.
This is serious, I'll have you know. Now please, get on with it.
Okay, so very briefly, going back to those tectonic plates you were talking about earlier, they're shifting, it's generally bad news.
Very bad news.
You really don't want to be anywhere near that epicentre. That is the point from the shockwaves spread out.
The consequences are devastating.
Collapsed buildings.
Landslides and avalanches.
Tsunamis.
Floods.
Fire!
Oops, here comes the rain. Time to put that rolly up.
I think you may need something a little more than an umbrella.
That's not going to offer a lot of protection against the kind of winds we can hear coming.
Anna, Bill, Claudette, Danny, Erica, Fred, Grace,
Henry, Ida, Jacqueline, Kate, Larry, Mindy, Nicholas,
Odette, Peter, Rose, Sam, Teresa, Victor, and Wanda.
Hey, we've already taken the school's register today, thank you.
But we're not teachers.
We're meteorologists.
And these are the names given to the past hurricanes.
Before each hurricane season, we're given a list of names like this from the World Meteorological Organization.
Now that's a great job if you can get it. So tell us about these hurricanes.
Well, these cyclones...
Wait a minute, I thought you said hurricanes.
We did, that's because cyclones in America are called hurricanes.
Whereas in Asia, they're called typhoons.
And wherever they are, they're pretty windy, huh?
Also, with winds in excess of 74 miles per hour.
Phew, you were right about that, Broly. You really wouldn't want to be out and about in those kinds of winds.
Let's go visit an area that has lots of experience with hurricanes. Come on, everyone. Back to the TARDIS we go.
Where and when are we now?
I've taken you through time back to 2005 to witness one of the most destructive hurricanes in American history, Hurricane Katrina. It was a Category 5 hurricane and reached wind speeds of 175 miles per hour.
I am really confused.
Why are you so confused?
I thought this is where a hurricane had occurred. Why is this area flooded?
Well, like I've spoken about before, many natural disasters lead to other disasters. When Katrina's storm surged, it hit 53 breaches to the flood protection and the greater New Orleans area, which flooded 80% of the city.
So, not only did the hurricane have wind speeds of 170 miles per hour, but it also flooded the land.
You may think 175 miles per hour sounds fast, but imagine wind speeds of 300 miles per hour.
300 miles per hour? Did you say 300 miles per hour?
I did. Not here in Britain, of course.
Thank goodness for that.
But there are over 1,000 tornadoes a year elsewhere, though not all of them are that extreme.
And not all at the same time?
No, we'll tell you about that in a minute.
The conditions that give rise to tornadoes are the collision of warm, moist air from the Gulf of Mexico and cool, dry air from Canada.
Then because of the atmospheric conditions, you get a column of rotating air around 2 to 6 miles wide and stretching up between land and thunderstorm.
If you see one of those heading towards you, the best advice is...
RUN!
So tell me, where should I avoid when booking a holiday in the States?
Well, if it's peak tornado season, that's March to May, you might want to steer clear of Tornado Valley.
So now we know to be aware of the areas where tectonic plates meet in case of volcanoes and earthquakes and areas where there are tropical or land-based storms.
Well, it's always good to be prepared.
Maybe we should all head back to the radio station where it is much safer.
Actually, you're correct. We live in the United Kingdom, which is in the middle of the Eurasia tectonic plates, so we don't experience volcanoes or any severe earthquakes.
What about hurricanes or tornadoes?
Hurricanes are tropical features and require sea temperature much higher than those around the UK, even in summer. So hurricanes cannot form at our latitudes. We have had a few minor tornadoes in the past in the UK, but they are usually short-lived.
So what you are trying to say is we should head home and learn about the rest of the deadly disasters from the safety of our own classroom.
I think that's a fantastic idea.
Let's go!